Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day
is October 10, 2019.
The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, you can call Dan on his texting first on his cell at 316-619-4886. Again, the house phone is 620-878-4682, and the cell is 316-619-4886.
Okay, I'm going to throw a little explanation in there about our home phone number. For a while, it was kind of really hard for us to get the messages, but now you receive the phone calls on your phone, your cell phone.
I had them forwarded to my smartphone, yes.
Right, so
I still have to figure out how to get my voice messages because the box is full, so you can't leave a message right now, but I'm working on that.
But you're working on that. So we apologize if we haven't got back to you recently. Well, you know, we get a lot of phone calls, but we've got a different system worked out, but we're really trying. Cell phone, please, because of robocalls, text first, you get a better response from me. Okay.
You can find the updates, the breaking news, Wichita Mission, about the updates about the Wichita Mission Church, the radio program archives. All the contact information is over at the Ministry Hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Okay, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on internationally. It's on YouTube, some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime.
Let's thank our listener base that's worldwide in places like Mbaba, Giza, Egypt, Vienna, Austria, Toronto, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Beijing, China, and of course the good old cities of the U.S. like Nashville, Tennessee, Chandler, Arizona, Denver, Colorado, Tampa, Florida, and of course Wichita, Kansas is remains the largest group of listeners that listen to the podcast when they post later tonight. And look, all those major cities, Nashville, Chandler, Denver, and Tampa, all the big ones.
Right, but there's also a lot of little sub-cities, just like Wichita. If you get anywhere close around Wichita, it goes by the net service, kind of like. So it might say Wichita, but you might be listening in Hayesville.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or Derby or somewhere.
Or Derby, City, somewhere within it, just a real short circumference. And the same with all these other cities. But for the record, you've never looked at the map. I'll let you look at the map. It will astound you at how many little cities you've never even heard of. You know, they listen broadly.
Well, most people do listen to the shortwave and radio programs and all that stuff in the smaller cities. That's why they're in the smaller cities. They're supposedly safer, but I don't know about nowadays.
Okay, well, yeah, don't lean back, speak up into the mic. Okay, but you'd be surprised at all the major cities, West Coast, East Coast, actually has more than, I'll just show you the map later, I'll show it to you at break time, but point is they listen even in the California, we have people that listen all over California. We have people that listen all over New York. We have people that listen in New Jersey. These are all the biggest cities in the United States,
right?
Liberal-based cities. So, anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter at That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent 77. Now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Okay, first, I'm getting ready to play a song before I play it. This song is number two in Brother Ben's song, and I'm doing it because the other song is talking to a volunteer from Wichita that comes to help us, and we'll see you tomorrow. And I told her I had a whole album, and she said she wanted all the music. But this particular song, it took her three times before she actually listened to it, and it then caught the message, and it was really powerful. Well, this is song number two, which also has a great big message from Brother Ben, and I want to play it right now, if Frank's willing.
Pruning before the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. For Jesus is the true vine, His Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad and we have to shed some tears. The end time harvest is coming soon. Must be thankful if we've been pruned. But what it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He does it 'cause He cares for us, and that's why He cuts us thin. When He's through, we may not see good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. And soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's fit for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful.
Well, folks, we're back again. But anyway, that's a really great song. So you saw what I was talking about. You've seen all the different cities. They're scattered all over the United States, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the world, you know. And, yeah, you pointed out South Africa. Yeah, well, hello to the folks in South Africa. Anyway, today we're going to talk about several things. I think we're going to kind of talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. Again, there's some interesting things about it we haven't talked about, and so I thought we would sing Sal. When's it start, Mom?
Sunday at dark.
Sunday at dark. Well, why at dark? How come not midnight?
Because the Lord's Day is sunset to sunset, not midnight to midnight.
Oh, well, who says midnight to midnight?
Oh, that was a man-made thing.
That was a man thing. Okay. First, we need to establish that we're supposed to keep it. So we're going to give three scriptures that talk about it. Okay, here's King James Version. Go ahead.
Leviticus 23:34. Speaking to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. And Deuteronomy 16:13. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy Yahweh in the place which he shall choose. in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty.
Okay, well, that means a couple of things. Those are supposed to be, that's, you're supposed to give offerings, special offerings to the Lord on those days, you know, and take care of the poor. So that's what it means. Don't appear without anything, you know, and you're always supposed to give to the poor, you know, absolutely. So anyway, now, so they shall not appear empty. Now, these are things, if you're a Torah observant or just trying to be, these are things. It's also a celebration of Yeshua's birthday. I've got a real good article. I'll repost it to the pastor's page over there because I'm not sure if I did indeed post it. I'll look after radio. Anyway, I don't need to look at it to tell you about it. So anyway, that will it's also the birthday of Yeshua, and so absolutely we keep it. And I'm not doubting anybody that keeps the other day that you're not informed or whatever, but so, you know, it's no break point between us. So, but you should explore these things because these are actually pointed out. Now, go ahead, Mother.
It's the what? The blue? Okay. Sukkot is one of the three major pilgrimage festivals of Israel, commemorating. The completion of the harvest of the agricultural year.
Okay, stop a second. So, you know, and that's what we talked about. Anyway, so it's the final harvest for the year, the corn and the wine. But let's think about it this way. So it's prophetic. Well, what's prophetic about it is it's the final harvest at the end of the world, which it also represents. And that's what we're going to go into today.
You know something interesting I seen on one of the sites I was looking at, looking for lava leaves and stuff because I forgot, but I did get them ordered.
What's a lava leaf?
It's what you're supposed to honor the Lord with and wave them every night as Sukkot.
Okay, so it's called a
luav leaf, and it's
a wave offering.
A wave offering.
Yeah.
But anyway, now you made me forget what I was saying. Oh, they had. Because we always talked among ourselves because you smell the estrogen, and we didn't know if you were supposed to eat that or not. Well, I found on a website last night that some women put them in their linen closets just to make their linen, you know, let them dry out and make their linen smell like they're wonderful. They smell really good. But several of them make wine for the next year out of them.
Out of wine?
Yeah, they use the sap out of it or whatever, but they use vodka and they make wine out of it with vodka and the estrogen, and the next year they have their homemade tabernacle wine.
Okay.
And
well,
supposedly it's really good. There was like five or six people on there.
Okay,
that said it
so
was really
so
good.
Here's my thought on that. I don't know, you know, folks, she's talking about spiking wine with vodka, but wine usually...
No, they make the wine out of vodka and the estrogen. It turns it into wine somehow.
Well,
but the recipe's on the website.
Okay, I'll look. But let me say what I want to say, okay? You know, this is how it is at home. I got to just throw it in there real quick. The only reason I get to talk on radio is because it's my program I invited her on, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
It's her program, too. Anyway, the point being is this. You know, wine usually makes its own alcohol. If you're putting vodka in it, then the alcohol is already established. So I'll have to look at the recipe to see, but there's a difference there. But I'm not in disbelief at all. Anyway, moving off the alcohol part of it, go ahead.
Sukkot begins on the 15th day of the month of Tishri, September or October, 5 days after the Day of Atonement, at the end of the harvest, and lasts for 1 week. The Jewish people built temporary shelters to remember their deliverance from Egypt by the hand of Yahweh. The Feast of Tabernacles is known by many names, Feast of Shelters, Feast of Booths, Feast of the Ingathering, and Sukkot, in Season of Our Joy.
Okay, now I want to look at two of those names that it's called it. Now, they make the shelters out of commemorative thing to say when they were out in Egypt, you know, and to remember that that the Father looked over them because they were just in temporary shelters. Right now, our bodies are temporary shelters housing our spirit. When Yeshua returns, we will move from this temporary shelter to a shelter, a new transfigured body. And so we'll shed these temporary shelters, absolutely. But also, you know, we celebrate the time. The shelters also represent that we're putting our trust totally in the Father and not in dwellings, but in Him. That's why temporary shelters. Now, so that covers the shelters and the booths, but the Feast of Ingathering. Well, it's now in gathering, you gather all the stuff from the harvest. Everybody comes in from the field. They gather everything in. Well, it's the harvest. In gathering also is prophetic because the angels go out, are sent out to the four corners of the earth to do what?
To gather people.
To gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. He'll in gather them and bring them together to Israel. That's why people say, well, we need to, a lot of people say, well, we should pilgrimage or we should live in Israel now. I wouldn't suggest moving to Israel now. When it's time for you to be there, you'll be brought there. You'll be in gathered there to be forever with Yeshua HaMashiach. But anyway, we are going to explore some scriptures today that talks about the different things. Now, I'm going to start. We're going to start reading here out of a. Where are we at? We're in Zechariah. Okay, Zechariah. This chapter of Zechariah is entirely about the day of the Lord. It says, behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Okay, now let's stop right there a minute. So, you know, people talk about Israel again never failing, you know, going back. Well, this has never happened. This has not happened in this sense. This is Zechariah talking about the day of Yahweh, the day or day of the Lord, if you will. And so it says Jerusalem will be attacked. And it says the city shall be taken, the house is rifled, the women ravished, that means raped, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, so that the city will be split. The residue of the people shall not become cut off from the city. So at this point, Israel is in a dire mess. There's been no United States, or for whatever reason, we haven't interceded in the battle, or we're unable to, or we just turned against them, whatever. Jerusalem will be ravaged. Okay, now then, so at this point, the people are going to be calling out for Yeshua, or they're going to be calling out for the Lord to come save them, for Messiah to come save them. And then it says, then shall the Lord, this is the Lord Yeshua, go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. Okay, now, as he fought in the day of battle. Now, here's the point. They're saying Yeshua will go forth and he'll fight against those nations, and that's an actual fight. You know, so many in Christendom, and I believe it once too, that right at his coming, everything just happens instantly and everybody's defeated and everything. No, it says he'll go and battle against those nations. He'll take Jerusalem back. Okay, so where can we find that in Revelation? Now, in Revelation chapter 19, I'll let you read this.
And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Stop right there. Okay, now, so we see a vision of Yeshua coming at this point, but, you know, you look out, you add up the other scriptures, you know, it says he's going out to make war. Now, war isn't fought and done in a single instance. He goes out and makes war. So whose blood is his vesture dripped in? These people that he comes up from. And there's a real good study by Joel Richardson. We're going to watch it tomorrow night at the Mission Church. But and he talks about how he's coming forth up out of Mount Zion, and there's scriptures that point to that, a bunch of them. or not Mount Zion, but he's coming forth up out of Mount Sinai, the real Mount Sinai. And as Zechariah looks down, he's seen him come up from there and fighting on the way up there. And then, and so it says, so, okay, then what happens?
And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of a mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like ye, as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my Yahweh shall come, and all the saints with thee.
Okay, now when we were in Revelation, we were talking about the same thing. It says that, did you read that one?
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. Yes, white and clean.
Okay, so here you have two pictures. See, you can see where Revelation is talking about this day of the Lord, or day of Yahweh, in Zechariah. So this is pulling on it. People that just read this and try to get their whole summary out of Revelation for everything about Yeshua's coming
is taken out of context.
Is taken out of context and cut short. Now, this was written actually for, you know, Israelite people, Jewish people that knew those other scriptures. So when this vision was given and John's talking about this vision.
Confirmation.
It's confirmation, but they all knew what he was talking about.
Right.
You understand what I'm
right.
saying? Because they've been hearing it forever, you know, forever, over and over. So this is where it pulls from. Okay, we're going to have to get out of here for a break. Tell them where to find us at.
You can find all our information about how to donate, everything about the Mission Church, radio archives, and everything's over there at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
And when we're going to be back?
And we'll be back in 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
I don't know, ask Brent.
Don't go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Father, thy word is true, a gift of love from you, the faith you chose to see your children through. So take me by the hand, and walk me through this land. The Holy Spirit leads me closer to you. The day you wash my sins away, through thy put my trust in you, and you call me friend. Your grace is sufficient for my life. It fills my every need. I know your love for me will always be. Oh, what a Savior. The way for all to be saved, even those that lost their way in sin. My vision for the weak, your word we must speak. It's a lamp unto our feet to guide us home. The day you washed my sins away, new life began. I put my trust in you. You call me friend. Your grace is sufficient for my life. It feels like every day. I know your love for me will always be. Oh, what a Savior. praise my heart will see. Your praise my heart will see.
In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul informs us that as believers we are not under the law but under grace. In the very next sentence he asks the question, what then, shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Answering his own question, stating, God forbid, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? We see here that believers must not yield themselves to the practice of sin. It will result in death. No, Jesus did not die in order that we might continue in the practice of sin. In the past, those who chose to practice sin died without mercy under two or three witnesses. We are cautioned of even worse punishment for believers who choose to sin willfully, counting the blood of the covenant an unholy thing and doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. Yes, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield yourselves members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Paul explains, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan and
Sister Linda
Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we're going to get right back into what we're talking about, Tabernacle, showing you where it's prophetically in there, and then showing you where it's in, what did we say, Zechariah and what?
Revelation.
Revelation. See, you remembered. Okay. Stuck on her, folks, so I'm hoping it'll stick on you. Okay, let's hear the song that I want to hear, and then we'll get right into it.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
In the days of Noah, keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought, getting about the flood, in anger he once fought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen. The devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. Some just think of money and how to get some more. But little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever damned. your trust in wealth you've lots to fear. For the distant thunders are rumbling and the storm is almost here. You must put your trust in Jesus, for he's our today. When the storm of darkness comes, in him you will be saved. Yes, the spirit of old Noah is alive and well today. Telling him of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen. The devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
Days of Noah, they rejected everything that was godly, you know, point being, and they're doing that now, you know, even like we say, the abortion thing on demand last week that we talked about. And by the way, that video's got a lot of hits on, or that, you know, on YouTube's got a lot of hits on it, where we talked about the women that would, and men that would go together and have babies and then murder them and then, you know, go on and on. Anyway. But so, yeah, that's another one of Brother Ben's songs. If you would like this collection of 10 songs, any kind of donation to cover a DVD will work. And or if you want it on a USB, you have to send a little bit more. Contact me.
Just mail us the USB and we'll put it on and mail it back.
Yeah, there's that. But you got to cover postage,
right,
you know, because we don't have the extra money.
Right.
I give it to you freely. You just, the expenses that you got to take care of. My time, I ain't worried about. You know, my time's the potter's time. So,
right,
you know, so if you want this collection, 10 songs, that's cool. I don't happen to have them online where I can give them to you. But I will figure out that sometime. Anyway, moving right along. So we're now, we're getting back out. We've established that through not only Revelation, but also in Zechariah, that Yeshua would go out and conquer the nations. And so now we have him hitting Jerusalem and now getting ready to rule. And I want to show you where it's in both places. So we're still in Zechariah, what is this, Zechariah 14. Yeah, we're still in Zechariah. No, we're in Revelation 19 right now. Okay, now then. And the last thing you said, and in the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses clothed in fine linen. Go on, Mom, with 15.
And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that is, with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty Yahweh. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly and in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together upon the unto the supper of the great Yahweh, and that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of almighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw a beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
Okay, now listen. We're talking, you can find that also in the book of Ezekiel chapter 39. It's the same battle and it's the same thing. Call for the birds to gather up, you know, come and eat all the dead stuff.
And that's the Valley of Decision, right?
Right. That's what they call the Valley of Decision. And it's a decision which you make. But anyway, moving right along. Okay. Now this is Revelation chapter 20. Okay. Go.
And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him up for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witnesses of Yeshua and for the word of Yahweh, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had they received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, so such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of Yahweh and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years.
Okay, now that's a millennial reign. Now we're talking about, now see, at this point, Yeshua has came back and he's made war, and he's set up a kingdom on earth in Jerusalem. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. This is resurrected dead. And those of us that have been transfigured, some of us have been there on the white horses. This is the point. So it's set up, and we will judge the nations. Now, you know, a lot of Christendom thinks that instantly you go and people go to hell, people go to heaven, and it's all over with. Well, you can't deny all these scriptures that talk about setting a kingdom for 1,000 years up on earth, and that we will help him rule the nations with a rod of iron. What nations? The nations that are left over after the Battle of Armageddon, because not everybody. And then we talk about later, then he'll gather at the Great White Throne Judgment, he'll separate the nations, the sheep from the goats. But okay, so let's go on. So where are we at in Zechariah with this? Okay, I'm going to show you how it shall go on. Now, this is talking about the same thing. Now, we're in Zechariah, and this is Zechariah 14, chapter M. We will start with verse 6.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In the summer and in the winter it shall be. And the Lord shall be the king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hanel unto the king's wine presses.
One more.
And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited.
Okay, now, so this is talking about the same thing. This is talking about the processing for he's conquered Jerusalem. He's taken it back. He came up out of Mount Sinai, and he battled his way up to Jerusalem, and he has fought, and nothing could stand against him, of course. But he does that to also, just as we marched down, there was a witness of the people that came out of Exodus. And all along that journey was a witness also to the nations. You know, instead of just instantly putting the Israelites in their homeland, it was a witness because he saved them miraculously along the way and did the Red Sea crossing and all that. This will also be a witness to the nations to see his power as he comes up out of Mount Sinai. Okay, and so now we're going on to, we're still talking in 14 about what's going to happen. Now, start with 12.
And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth.
Stop a second.
Is that instant combustion or whatever it is?
Look, this is what a lot of people do. I've seen this being used on so many different things. People say, well, that sounds like nuclear warfare. Okay, let's read what it says. This shall be the plague wherein Yeshua will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Plague, 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 plague. He will put a plague upon them, some form of like if you go to the book of Revelation, it talks about different things that were put upon the people in a wrath, you know, to melt them away, to hurt them. So this isn't an atomic bomb. This is that, you know. What we absolutely don't, we just have to trust what the word says. It says it's a plague, so I believe that it's a plague. A plague could be any something brought on by
flesh-eating disease. Huh?
Well, no, let's go like this. Most plagues are brought on by microbes, you know, diseases. And diseases come just like the, let's go with the rats. The black plague that killed so many in Europe, one of the worst plagues in history that consumed most of Europe, was brought on by rats. It was by infested fleas on rats. And actually, they're expecting it back in places like California, where the homeless camps are infested by rats. And it was brought on by fleas, and it was a disease, and it was a plague. And it consumed. That's what we're talking about. Now, what just happened? He just slaughtered a lot of people in these nations on the way up there, right?
Yeah.
So there's what? A lot of dead, right?
So that's where the plague comes from, their rotting flesh.
From the, it's a good guess, from the rotting flesh, but from probably rats and things that have infested them. And who's it among? It's among the people in those nations that came against Israel. And so as he goes up and does battle, see? Okay.
And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen around about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance.
Stop a second. Okay, now we're also pointing back to, now this clearly said in the very first of it, this is a common theme used throughout the Bible. It's called the Day of the Lord. You know, in English King James Version, that's what it's called, the Day of the Lord, the Day of the Lord, the Day of the Lord. So this is describing the Day of the Lord found in Revelation. And so you can't say that, boy, when Yeshua comes back, it's just instantly everybody's gone to heaven. No, that isn't what it says.
No.
That isn't what it says, and it's confirmed out of the Old Testament. But, hey, the story's good at the end, so let's keep going.
And Judah?
We already did that. Or did you not? Or you didn't start there. Go ahead, start right
okay.
there.
And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and all the wealth of the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel and the great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and all of the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague.
Okay, stop. Now, see, we're also talking about what is common in all those animals?
Flies.
Flies and fleas.
And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles.
Okay, keep the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is what we're going to do in 1,000 years while we're waiting for the great white throne judgment, which we're not going to go into because no time today. But so that's what we do when we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. We celebrate both comings. We celebrate his coming the first time by being born, and the second time by him coming and defeating the enemies. We'll finish this off.
And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt got not up and come not, that have no rain. And there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all that and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seeth therein, and in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts.
Yeah, amen. Okay, now we did Revelation. Now we got to hurry up and get through this. But I also want to say, point to the people this is Isaiah 4. This is also Feast of Tabernacles, and I'll read it real quick. In the word, Isaiah the son of Amos saw the coming of Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. And people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Yahweh of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. He will walk in the path, for out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of Yahweh, or that actually will be Yeshua from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations. He will bring many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. That's also fulfillment, and it's of the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, now we're already seeing fulfillments. Now, right now, there's over, how many does that say?
5,000 Christians headed to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah, and this is a prophetic thing, because we also remember, see now, this Feast of Tabernacles, while it's in gathering, it's also in gathering of the world. It's gathering the Gentile nations in to listen to Yeshua, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is the point. All come to worship Yeshua as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Lord of Hosts. They all the nations come up. And so that's why the Feast of In Gathering, Tabernacles, is so important, that all are supposed to go worship. If not, what happens to them? They get the plague and they get no rain and all those things. In other words, they're punished for not going up and learning Torah. But us, that's when the new covenant will actually come in full. And at that point, when he returns, we won't have to read the Torah. We'll be helping to teach the Torah, because it will be written literally in our hearts, which it isn't yet now. So anyway, folks, you should do more research on, the Feast of Tabernacles. Google around. And now, listen also, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Millions right now are doing it. Right now, over 500,000 church groups across the world are expected to participate from home locations and other places to watch a live broadcast that we'll put out here during the Feast of Tabernacles, where they're all going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And as we always say, praying for the peace of Jerusalem is praying for Yeshua's return. Okay. The biggest in-gathering feast in the United States is in Chandler, Oklahoma. I think they still have places open. It costs to get into the place and everything. We've been gifted with the place. We really would like to go. I think it would be great for the ministry, because if we go, we're going to meet a lot of other people that we can give our business cards out to, or ministry cards. I don't like to call it a business, but our cards out to people to gain new contacts, not only for radio guests, but also to support radio, which if radio and the church are tied together, one does not work without the other. So we will also find prayerfully support for the Wichita Mission Church. We really need to go. So I want you folks right now, I'm not asking for the Mission Church right now, I'm asking if you would like to help us to be able to go, because we still have a shortfall. We don't have enough funds to leave. We have to leave Sunday in order to get to this feast. But please pray about a donation so we can go and promote radio and promote the Wichita Member Mission Church among fellow believers that believe like us. That makes it easier, you know what I mean? Instead of trying to convince people, you know, that's why we don't get support from a lot of people, is because we get to talk to, oh, you're Christians, and they act like they want to support us. But when we find out that, well, we're Messianic, or we're Christians that keep the feast, they shy away from us because we're different, especially when we don't keep Christmas and Easter and those things. They also shy away from us. But this is the largest in-gathering of Messianic people in the United States, and there will be a lot of people there that we can, you know, people will get introduced to. People hopefully will make some contact. I really believe that we're supposed to go, because the Satan and the devil has fought so hard.
Oh, boy, has it been hard.
Oh, yeah, we had your truck blow up. That was the first of it.
And then it's all ready to go back together to test drive on last Sunday, and the radiator came out of the box.
Radiator.
And it's warped. Yeah, and it's warped. So we're still waiting on the radiator to get here, which is supposed to be here tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And also, we're short on, we don't have the travel money and stuff yet, but I'm expecting some money from that. So, but we'll come in at the last minute, as always says, but Satan the devil has fought hard against us to stop us from going. That's why I believe by faith that we really are supposed to go. So pray about a donation for this. Also pray about supporting radio. We have a donation coming where I'm going to pay last month's radio, but this month needs to be paid too. We will pay last month's radio probably tomorrow, but the point is we need to pay for this month's airtime. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Also, if you want us just, if you don't want to help us with the Feast of Tabernacles, we need what, everything over there at the Mission Church?
Yeah, we're low on everything, but I still need bill money, too. So, yeah, we need finances and everything you need.
Right, and that's what I told them in this update that I sent out yesterday. By the way, you can get mission updates if you'd like to hear about all our, everything that we need. Find it over at prophecyhour.com. Just put your email address in it. But the point is that we just like you have a home, you have to pay your lights, gas, electric, all that stuff. Well, the Mission Church needs lights, gas, electric, and all that
stuff. Yeah.
And you have to eat. Well, the Mission Church people need to eat. I'm going to use the last of the hamburger tomorrow, and so we're out of meat. You know, it looked like to me the last package.
No, I think there's three in the big freezer in the bottom.
Well,
I don't know for sure, though. But
right. Well, okay, I guess I looked in the small freezer. The point is though, we still need food for the Mission Church. We're out of noodles. We've just got a little bit of noodles left. Pasta expands everything. You know, 5 pounds of hamburger and 8 pounds of pasta and some tomatoes.
And rice. But if you do get rice, we like to use the parboiled rice because it doesn't mush as easy as the other kind.
Yeah, the other kind mushes real easy. So you can very well just donate to the Wichita Mission Church. But pray about it.
We're in need of warm clothing, blankets, sleeping bags, everything that keeps you warm. We are in need of it because it is going to start dropping below 40 and we need it. They're already asking for it.
Right, and it is now cold. We've actually got a freeze warning for tonight here
and
in Kansas.
And the heat's on.
And, right. Remember, folks, all donation, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. Not free. Donations keep us on the air.
You can donate online, over the phone, by mailing a check or money order. You can find all that information over at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Okay. And by the way, when we get back, I'm going to do a couple little overhaulings. I realize now I need to make my wife has a page over at messiahsfrance.org, but that page needs updated. I'm going to put her a page over at prophecyhour.com so you can find out some fun ways to get a hold of her, make a direct donation to the food account and different things. So, expect that after we get back. But we can't go unless we raise some money to go to finish it off. I really believe it'll be good for the Mission Church. Okay. You say goodbye to them and I got to get out of here.
And shalom and have a great feast.
Tabernacles. We may or may not do radio next week. I haven't decided. It depends on what internet reception is like if we go. But remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. And he rose after 3 days and 3 nights on the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father.
Always remember, be a blessing to others. And pray for the priest of Jerusalem. Because when you pray for priestly Jerusalem, it's like praying for Messiah's return.
You know, you should put that in your own words. And join this week. Go over to the pastor's page. Find this thing I'm going to put over there. You can pray for the peace of Jerusalem with the nations. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.